Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, that is Jesus and the first disciples that he had picked. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, O Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In U.S. Naval Institute Proceedings, the magazine of the Naval Institute, Frank Koch illustrates the importance of obeying the laws of the lighthouse. Two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing reported, "Light bearing on the starboard bow." "Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called the signalman. "Signal that ship. We're on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the signal. "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "Send. "I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees. "I'm a seaman second class," came the reply. "You'd better change course 20 degrees. Well, by that time, the captain was furious. He spat out, "Send, I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Back came the flashing light. "I'm a lighthouse." We changed course. Today's gospel text takes place at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. And we see that from the start, Jesus established who is boss around here. He establishes his authority over heaven and earth and all life and forces therein. So far, the book of Mark tells us that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. He spent 40 days in the desert where he sparred with Satan. Of course, Jesus won every match. Then Jesus went on to the Sea of Galilee, leaving Satan with a bruised ego and itching for a rematch. At the lakeside, Jesus calls his first four disciples, and they move on to Capernaum. When the Sabbath comes, Jesus, like all good Jewish men, went to the synagogue. And quickly, things became interesting. Now, it was not unusual to allow a guest to read from the scriptures. But Jesus went beyond that. Jesus began to teach. Verse 22 says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. Can you hear the whispering? Isn't he fantastic? He brings the scriptures to life. He knows what he's talking about, not like scribes, but someone who really knows this stuff, someone with authority. Now, scribes were originally the people who copied the scriptures, you know, before the printing press. They became experts of the law, lawyers. Their authority was based on detailed understanding of scriptures, tradition, and their ability to recite the opinion of many rabbis on any given topic. But this Jesus, his teaching did not need any external support. His words were self-authenticating. He taught as one who had authority. It was difficult to explain. One sensed that this man and his message about God's kingdom were one and the same. Have you ever read a familiar Bible passage and had a sentence or a phrase stand out? And you said to yourself, how have I not seen this before? That moment was Jesus teaching you with authority. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation or a situation where you felt compelled to offer a Christian viewpoint, or where you felt compelled to lend a helping hand? That was Jesus leading you with authority. But I warn you, the more you listen to him, the more you will be able to hear him. And the more you act on his nudging, the more he will nudge you to act. And you will find yourself leading a life more exciting and fulfilling than you ever could have dreamed of. Next, Mark tells us that one of the people in a synagogue listening to Jesus that Sabbath day was a man possessed by an evil spirit. And the evil spirit immediately recognized Jesus. Through the man that he possessed, the spirit cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, this scene is not described like a scene from a movie. You know, the head spinning around, the eyes bulging, furniture flying. No. But this is not quite your usual Sabbath day at the synagogue. What do you want with us, Jesus? Couldn't you have just left us alone? We weren't bothering you. And Jesus ordered the demon, "Be silent and come out of him." "Leave him alone, you Satan wannabe. He is mine and I am claiming him." Just to show what he could have done, the evil spirit caused the man to convulse violently as he left him. And then the spirit let out an otherworldly shriek and fled from Jesus' presence. This tormentor and destroyer of man recognized Jesus as his destroyer. No incantation, no prop, no prayers. Just a few words from the one with authority, and the evil one fled. Yes, Jesus speaks with an authority that even the unclean spirits must obey. Jesus spoke with authority on many occasions and healed many people. What about the rest of the congregation at the synagogue that day? Well, I suppose they were busy scraping their jaws up off the floor. One did not see that happen every day, and certainly not in the worship center. They never expected to see evil right there in the synagogue. And yet, why not? Scripture does not say that the man was a stranger. Now, I ask you, is there any congregation anywhere that can say there is no evil in their sanctuary? After all, isn't the church where we're supposed to bring our broken spirits, our weaknesses, our addictions, our regrets, the thoughts and spirits that haunt us? If we're honest, I think most of us have some memory, some darkness that haunts us, some pain caused by the people we loved, some hurt we caused the people who loved us, something that we have pushed down deep. At some point in time, Jesus will touch us right there in a message from the pulpit, through the lyrics of a song, in the prayer of a friend, and we begin to tremble. We have kept that secret buried for so long that we are almost comfortable with the pain. And then Jesus breaks through our shell. He exposes the closet drinking, the secret gambling, the hidden out of control shopping, the forbidden images on the computer screen, the regretted abuse, the ugly words uttered in anger, the jealous rages. Jesus knows our secrets, our darkness, and he says, "Be done with her. Be gone from him. I am the authority here, and I claim this one for myself." We begin to tremble. The shell cracks, and the emotions spill out. And then comes the lightness, the joy, the love as we have never known. And Jesus says, "I claim this one for myself." The most dangerous thing we can do today is to deny the presence of evil. Evil is alive and well and flourishing in our country. Does that sound dramatic? An explosion of anger, a suicidal impulse, an intense jealousy, a wild sexual fantasy, an overwhelming feeling of depression. We wonder where these thoughts come from and why we cannot stop them. One survey of physicians quotes them as saying that 85% of office visits are due to psychological issues. 20% of surgeries in emergency wards are due to family battering. In the last 20 years, the number of reported cases of physical and sexual family violence in our cities has doubled. 30% of all girls and 10% of all boys in the U.S. will be sexually assaulted by the age of 18. When I was in school, I never saw a sign on school property that said, "No guns allowed, no drugs allowed." In large metropolitan areas, school buses are followed by unmarked police cars. Recently, a man tried to molest my granddaughter at 7:45 in the morning on her walk to school on a busy street. She now has to carry a can of mace to walk to school. Our nation is in a spiritual battle. And as a whole, we are not using our greatest weapon, the one who has authority over the evil spirits, Christ Jesus. Our God is a God of the broken. Jesus came to oppose all the forces that keep the children of God from the abundant life. Our churches are meant to be hospitals for the broken spirit. Jesus commissioned the 12 disciples to preach the gospel and cast out demons, and that mission has not changed. Now let's get practical. What can we do? Prayer is still our greatest weapon. When you are out and about on errands, stop across from a school and pray for the safety for all within that building. Stop one day each week in front of a crisis pregnancy center and pray for their staff and clients. Make a list of churches in our area and each week pray daily for one of those churches. Get political. Personally, I detest politics, but we cannot stand by and watch a continuation of the mess our land is in. Now, running for office is not for everyone, but everyone can write or email. Let the politicians know that we will not stand for more of the same. Our families are in desperate need of help. Start a Bible study support group for mothers or fathers in your neighborhood. Take a walk and stop and pray in front of each and every one of your neighbors' homes. Be a mentor for a teen and a youth challenge program. Help with a scout troop. Volunteer in a school classroom. Offer to mentor a young single parent. Continue to tell people that they can find hope in Jesus. Tell them they can find support in a church and invite them to ours. You may need to offer them a ride to get there. 2,000 years ago, the first disciples accepted the mission Jesus gave them, and they changed the world. You and I are invited to do the same. Accept, and it will make a difference, because we are commissioned by the one who has authority. Amen.